Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It's a show on betrayal. Stay tuned to find out what do you do when somebody does something very bad to you.
With abandonment issues, and I want to know how to move forward from it.
How would I reconcile a betrayal from a friend that was just a really deep wound?
I can always do good for short periods of time.
Yeah.
Like, pick myself right back up.
Michael, I believe you, and I hear that in you. We see that. But none of us were designed to have to pick ourselves up.
First of all, I'm wondering why it has to be somebody's fault that he died, because terrible things do happen in life.
I think you're going to lose this battle.
I have to let it go, don't I?
Yeah.
Part of what I would do is spend some time preparing my family to say, this is going to be tough, but we need to put it in the context of what will Jesus have us do.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham. Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
Dr. Henry Cloud. Hello.
Hey, Stevie.
And all of you, welcome. Thanks for coming here. We're spending some time this Friday talking about betrayal. And having received my PhD in betrayal, having been betrayed several times, I think, you know, how sometimes words really express what something is. I think betrayal does a poor job of expressing what betrayal is. You know, tray is like something you serve, and be and being, you know, it should be something like slaughter heart center or something like that versus betrayal. It's just too nice because it just wipes you totally out. And anyway, that's my thought on betrayal. What are you guys thinking as we start off our program here on betrayal and being betrayed and getting over it?
No, I think you're absolutely right. It just takes you down to nothing, you know? It just strips you down to the core of who you are. And it really causes you to believe things about yourself that I believe aren't true. But because it happens to us, it's one of those things that happens to us. We try to figure out why it happened to us. And most often we think it's our fault for some reason. Like, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not good enough, not smart enough. What was I doing wrong? If I had had more sex, if I had had less sex, if I had whatever. I mean, you just start reaching for these reasons why it happened. And many times those things aren't true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that you may not have a part in the vulnerability in the relationship. And we talk about that at Women in the Battle is, did we have a part? Did we have our own intimacy issues that may have led to the problem? Or have we chosen someone that may have intimacy issues? But when a betrayal happens, it's never, ever, ever the fault of the other person. It's not.
They might be a participant in the problem that leads to it.
Correct. But it's never their fault.
Yeah.
They didn't make that decision. It's definitely a choice to act outside of your marriage or outside of your relationship. So,
Henry, any thoughts on betrayal?
Well, I would kind of back up a little bit to the big picture of you know, why it's so devastating. And it ultimately, it is the thread that runs through everything that's wrong in the universe, because it began with the betrayal of God and His love and His trust. God trusted us. He entrusted us with this creation. And we betrayed Him. And so when that trust is broken, everything goes south from there. Now, to Sherry's point, God did not turn around and betray us because we didn't meet His needs, mm-hmm. right? And it's like the New Testament says, where we are faithless, He remains faithful. And ultimately, that's the only way to turn this universe around, is when any of us can transcend that which we are given by another person and not do what they have done to us in kind, which means that we have got to not return evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. And that means that somebody somewhere has got to be faithful for anything to work, because faithlessness only brings about the destruction of everything.
Yeah, very good. Good insight. Okay, we'll take some calls and talk about betrayal a little bit more here after this. You're listening to New Life Live. I'm glad you are.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. You know, you made this big point about when you're betrayed, it's not your fault. You may be, you know, part of the deal, but you didn't cause the betrayal, but you might have helped cause some of the problems. But the betrayer, it seems like most commonly, their goal in life is to make you feel like you are the reason. Once they get caught, their agenda seems to be make you feel as bad as you can about what they did.
Yeah, it's the blame game. And it's part of what makes, you know, we were talking about this at Women in the Battle, part of what makes women feel crazy, like they're crazy, because the person that betrayed will blame, they'll lie, they'll manipulate the truth because they don't want to own responsibility.
Well,
and the women
about,
feel crazy for it. But I'm like, you're not crazy.
Think about the original betrayal we're talking about. You know, when Adam and Eve betrayed God.
Right.
Adam blames God for it. Says, it's the woman you gave me. If you give me a different one, God, come on. You know, all of the potential women that you could have created out of infinity.
One that didn't like fruit.
Yeah, here's the one you gave me. I mean, come on. And so it's been... It's
just
been,
part of the game.
It's just, and then she blames the serpent, right?
Yeah.
And so it's part of the human deal to, like you're saying, you know, not own it.
Yep.
Then there are the codependents who think that they're the reason that Eve ate the apple.
It's my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones, and let's talk to Mary. Clarksville, Maryland, listens on XM Satellite Radio. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Certainly. How can we help you today?
Well, it was really interesting listening to all of your topic before you got to me, and so much has hit home for me because my husband had an affair. Well, I caught him at it 5.5 years ago, and he told me that he would stop seeing her. He would work on our marriage. We did it for about a year, and then we stopped going to therapy. And then for 3 years, it was not good. It was up and down. And he, a year and a half ago, left. He said that he was unhappy with who he was. He felt that he needed to have some time by himself, figure things out. And I asked him if it had anything to do with a woman, and he said no. Well, it took me about 6 weeks, but I found out he had indeed left me again and still was seeing the woman. In fact, I don't think that he had even left her for a year originally when we were going through therapy.
Mm, that's tough.
So he, my pastor gave me the name of a Christian therapist. I started going to her. She said that she recommended, she believes, she's a big believer in closure, and she said, do you think your husband would come and at least do that with you? And he agreed, and then he stayed for over a year. Once a week, we went to therapy. And then just last week, he told me he did not think it was fair to me to continue doing therapy because he did not think anything had changed. So, Mike, I'm at this point, I asked him, I said, I feel like I really have started to understand things in a way that I never had before with my own part in it, and I asked him if he would reconsider, and he told me he'd have to think about it. So next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, actually, we're supposed to meet, and he's supposed to give me his final answer. But in this past few days, I've considered not going and thinking and asking him for time for me to process, because there's nothing like being drop-kicked into reality. And what I realize is that my woundedness, because of my childhood, has affected every aspect of my life. Mm. And it's been a very painful revelation, because I do feel responsible for his unhappiness. Mm. Although I will say I understand that my husband never thought there was anything wrong with him. In this past year, our therapist was very good in showing him where he does have big problems. He's an avoider. He is a people pleaser. And he has no emotional intelligence, although he's extremely bright. So my question really is, I don't know what to do at this point. I mean, I don't know if there's really anything I can do, but in my heart of hearts, for some reason, I just feel like God still wants me to hang in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, is he saying he's hanging in there or not? I'm confused.
That's because he's ambivalent. No, that's why you're confused. He's been in and out.
What is he saying?
He said that he did not think it was fair to continue therapy because nothing had changed for him as far as how he felt. In fact, he told
Stop for a second. It's not fair to him because you haven't changed, or it's not fair to you because he hasn't changed? Or
yes. It's not fair to me because he does not feel indifferently towards me. He told me that he feels nothing for me, not a twinge, nothing.
Okay. And so then that's when you said, I don't want to go next week?
No, I said to him, I believe my husband has been looking for me to change. And for this past year, it's been a struggle because I've been so wounded, and I understand now what was preventing me from being able to really look at the situation in a way that would benefit both of us. And so I said, you know, I'd really like you to reconsider, do this a little bit longer. I feel like I'm really starting to understand my part in it. And he said he needed to think about it, and he said, I'll give it a week. I'll come back to therapy, and I'll give you my answer.
So what's your part?
I have been so wounded. I grew up with an alcoholic. I'm one of 8 children. It was like living in sniper fire in my family, and my way of coping was to be as perfect as I could be, because my father would fly off the handle, and then you would get a beating, and I really, truly thought he could kill us, and so my way of preventing that was to be as good as I could be. So my whole life has been, if I toe the line, if I do the right things, I'll be safe.
Okay, Mary, I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Okay.
Because the question kind of on the table is what you do about next week, right?
Yes, it is.
I can't understand how you would have so many years into this, and you have spent another year in trying to figure it out, and you're having all these awarenesses, and you're doing some things that it sounds like would be the kind of things that need to be done if something's going to work. And he said, okay, I'm going to think about this, and I'm going to show up next Wednesday. And then for some reason you would pull the plug on that. I don't get that.
Well, I feel like I want to tell him that I need some time to process what he told me, because I feel like I need to be a little stronger. I feel like I had an opportunity here and I blew it. I feel like this past year was an opportunity for me to grow, to change, to really understand my part in it. And it's only been since the very end that I started really to truly understand how my woundedness affected my relationship with everything and everybody.
Why wouldn't you go in there and say that?
Well, because I don't know if I'm strong enough.
Well, I'm going to say something hard here. And this may, you know, I don't know enough about you to know if this is right or not. You got to talk to your counselor about that. But here's what I'm hearing. What you just said is the problem that you don't want to do anymore. That you have let your woundedness take you out of fully showing up in the relationship because of your fear. And so what you said is, now I'm embracing my woundedness that's kept me acting out of my woundedness instead of showing up, and I'm embracing that, and now I would have a chance. So I'm not going to show up because I'm wounded and don't know if I'm strong enough. Do you see that?
Are you saying I'm doing essentially the same thing that I've been doing all along?
That's what it appears to be. Now, again, you got to talk to your counselor about this. But given what you've said and the fact that you're able to sit here and talk about it, it says to me, yeah, you are strong enough because you can put it into words and you can get a bunch of support and this, that, and the other. And you could go in there and you could say, you know what, I want our marriage to work. And I have been afraid out of my own woundedness to relate in ways from my side that could help it to make it work. Now, Joey, you've got to do some things from your side as well. But I almost bailed again today, and that showed me that this is exactly what I need to do. This is what we need to do. When we're afraid, when we're hurt, we need to show up and move towards each other instead of move away or act that out in some way. And I think if you did that authentically, he would at least experience more of the real vulnerable but showing up you than he's probably ever experienced. Now, that doesn't let him off the hook, but it lets you do the side that you need to do.
I am afraid. I won't deny it. I've been married to him for 28 years.
That's fine. You just embrace that and say it. To show up and say, I am afraid, is a very strong afraid position because it's being who you are. You're being in your skin, and you're showing up, and you're saying, I'm afraid. And there's nothing to be afraid of an afraid person. So if he's got avoidance issues, then he's not going to run from somebody that says they're afraid. He's going to run from somebody that's acting out on him.
Oh, you're right.
Someone he fears will abandon him. He's probably got some abandonment wounds himself.
Well, I know I have huge abandonment issues because when your father is, drinks, he's on, he's off, he's on, he's off. And so I think my whole life, and particularly with my husband, I did everything I could to stay out of trouble so I wouldn't be abandoned or rejected or whatever. And it turned out to be the worst thing for his woundedness.
Well, okay. And there's, I just want to say this because my pot is stirring and it's probably just my own story that's coming out and hearing your story. But I was married to a sex addict and so I lived with the betrayal, multiple betrayal, like you have, right? He's not really shown up in the relationship. And at some point, Mary, you're going to have to, like Henry invited you to go in and be vulnerable, but he's going to have to pick you and you're going to have to pick him. And you guys are going to have to both work on your intimacy issues because you're afraid of each other. And that's why you've stayed so distant. And that's why there's been other relationships.
Well, I was very critical. I had expectations. He had no
Mary?
Expectations growing up. So I feel like I pushed him away. My expectations and being critical, and I mean, he just really never did show up with raising the kids or any of that. And
Mary,
this
is the kind of stuff that you can talk about as you guys care about each other and want to share with each other. But I guess what you're hearing from us is three votes to go to that session.
And you need to ask him, are you going to be here, right?
Yeah.
If not, I mean, my former husband, during therapy, was having two affairs. He was avoiding the relationship. And at some point, I had to draw a line in the sand and say, either you're in or out. And that was showing up, just like Henry's inviting you. I was terrified. I was fearful because he might say no.
Well, it gives him a choice.
Yeah.
Right?
But at some point, I had to put that choice on the table. And it feels to me like, Mary, the time is now for that choice to happen. And he may not choose you. And at that point, you may have to walk away.
I don't think he will choose me.
Well, you don't know. But the only way to know...
Well, I think that, by still having his relationship, a year and a half, everything I've heard, that separation, the longer you're separated, the less likely it is that you will.
Okay, but Mary, if it doesn't work here, I want you to hear this for your future life, okay? When you try to sort of protect yourself from being honest and the consequences in a relationship of being honest, what you're doing is you're not in the relationship, and the relationships that you have are going to be held together by spit. There's no glue there. And so you're always going to be on a precarious place. So if you're looking at this on, well, he probably won't, I read this stuff, that may be true, but that's all still kind of protective, because you're already kind of hedging against it, which is fine, because maybe given all that y'all been through, he is going to walk. But it would, let's pretend like he is going to walk. Let's just say, okay, you're right, he's going to walk. Then use this as an opportunity to show up for your new life and be authentic and say, I want you to stay in this. I want you to show up, but you're going to have to choose, and I'm going to take a stand here. And you can just treat it as practice if you're so sure that he's going to walk away.
Okay.
All right. But we're all voting for you to go to the session.
Well, I can't ignore that.
Yeah. Good. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for your help.
Glad you called. Hold on. Walking Into Walls coming your way. We'll take a break and come right back with more betrayal and talk about it after this.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband. The amazing dad. The great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking about betrayal. Let's talk to Susan from Burke, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hi there.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. What's going on?
Well, 3 years ago, I was experienced a betrayal, and, you know, my husband went through a lot of the things that I requested that he go through. We went through counseling, and, I mean, he did the Every Man's Battle, and we went to the New Life Weekend, and... you know, he dropped he stopped the affair and all of that.
So how's it going now?
Well, that's the thing. I read your book, the one that Regret Free Living recently.
Yeah.
And I think this, I've come to the point that I myself, I'm tired of what I feel are this just the continued little betrayals that that he seems to be oblivious to, you know. Mm-hmm. Like little things like not keeping his word when he says he's going to do something, you know, and always giving an excuse for it. You know, I feel like I've invested so much in trying to infuse life into this relationship that I've just decided to check out. And I don't know how long it takes after betrayal for you to really begin to build up trust again. One of my counselors says it takes at least 5 years, and you know, we're now at 3-year mark, and I mean, he's changing and he's doing a lot. You know, he wants me to come and read the Bible with him every day and all that, but you know, recently I've just decided to stop because I'm tired.
Well, it sounds like to me that maybe you need some women for your own recovery around you. Sherry, what are you thinking about this?
Well, you know, tired comes from a lot of things. It comes from having been in a battle for a long time without a lot of kudos, without a lot filling your tank in your relationship. So I have a couple of thoughts. One of them is, you know, just there's this concept I talked about over the weekend of a dry sex addict, in the sense that they stop the toxin, right? They stop the pornography or they cut off the affair or whatever. But if you as a couple do not get into a relationship with where you're getting good counseling, attachment-based counseling, emotionally focused counseling, kind of like Mylan Kay's holding therapy, which is an intimacy-based counseling. If you're not connecting, you guys are going to just become roommates. And you don't take that step further, which is healing the intimacy wounds for both of you. The other thought I had for you, Susan, was I'm just wondering if you've ever gotten angry.
Well, I think he feels that I've been angry most of our relationship. And I know that during that time, I was very angry at him, and I expressed it, you know.
But it feels like you're withholding. Like, something in me goes, I'm wondering if you've really... I'm not talking about passive-aggressive anger. That's the stealth kind of anger, you know, that is prickly and it pushes him away. That's really an intimacy issue. It's a way that you can keep him distant because you're angry. But it feels to me, I just am wondering, like, to unplug, check out, is just, it comes out, it feels like hopelessness or disconnection, or it's just easier to do that than to have to rebuild, right?
Well, I just feel that I have invested too much emotionally into this relationship, and he has not at least met me halfway in trying to do things to bring life into the relationship. And I feel that if I I need to focus on other aspects of my life that I have neglected, all in an effort to help my marriage.
But are you in couples counseling? Have you guys done intimacy-based attachment work in therapy?
We went to counseling after the affair,
and you stopped.
And it did help because, you know, they. And then we went to the New Life Weekend, and he went.
You guys need to be in weekly counseling right now if you want to restore and have this marriage. You've got to have your tank filled. Both of you do.
But and I don't want to ask him to go to anywhere again. In fact, I don't want to read another book on marriage. I don't want to.
Well, Susan, I would guess part of why you don't want to is, if I'm understanding what you said earlier, he's doing all these things and says, you know, I want to read the Bible together and et cetera, et cetera. And you said he's made some changes, but at the same time, that you can't believe him because there's a bunch of stuff that he says that he doesn't do. Did I hear that right?
Exactly.
Okay, so. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's what the Bible says.
My heart is sick.
And so, exactly. So, I think what I would suggest to you is that you show up and you say, look, this is what I want. I don't want lukewarm. I want hot or cold. And so, if you're going to say you're in the relationship, then I want to be able to believe these little things as well as the big things. And so, I need to see follow through on the little things and for your walk to match your talk, for me to show up and to be able to trust you and to be close. And I think that would, it's probably kind of what is behind Sherry's point about what you're angry about, is that would be coming forth with the anger. We don't mean screaming at anybody. We mean be angry and sin not. So your anger would be to protest in that kind of way and ask that he show up.
Okay, we'll be back right after this. Stay tuned.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back, and man, I tell you, I think a lot of folks would be just dying to have their husband want to read the Bible with them.
But you know what, Steve? There's this ambivalence and ebb and flow that happens in couples that have intimacy issues and wounds, is when one partner starts showing up and mm-hmm. finally starts doing what they need to do, the other one pulls back. I believe it's a core intimacy fear. And so it doesn't matter what you call it. It is coming out of hopelessness. But I imagine that, you know, there's a history of feeling disconnected that feels hopeless too.
Uh-huh.
There's this, you know, give and take and ebb and flow. And I often see that when I'm working with couples. All of a sudden you get the guy to start showing up and doing what he needs to do at some level. And then right. the woman like shuts off. She's like, yeah. I'm done. And
well, that's exactly what we've seen on a number of callers, is that mm-hmm. You know, there's a guy in this instance, but it can be the other way as well, who kind of has been in and out of the relationship. And then when it's time for her to take a stand, there is reluctance and fear to 100% show up.
Yeah, because she was hurt.
Exactly. And that is basically the only way to redeem anything is to show up with both sides of yourself, the strong side and the vulnerable side. What you want, W-A-N-T, and what you won't, W-O-N-T, put up with. So it's the grace and the truth in an integrated person that causes disintegrated people on the other side to integrate and to finally step forward. But that's not what we do. We do what Sherry's saying, is we play this dance where I give you half of me and you relate with half of you, and then you give me the other half and I give you the other half, and we have this kind of, you know, game going.
Milk toast.
And that is why, and this is key to hear, the only way out of that is for somebody to show up with all of themselves. And usually that takes some sort of an external structure where somebody's drawn a circle around this couple to keep them all the parts in the room. And that's why counseling, that's why a good accountability group, that's why a good community must surround couples in trouble to keep them from acting out that dance.
Mm-hmm.
because you can't do surgery on the run. If you notice, when they operate on somebody, they put them on a table, they don't let them get up.
I've noticed that.
They don't let them leave the table, right? And that's what a structured counseling process or a structured ministry group or the body of Christ does, is it surrounds the infection so it can't get away and causes it to integrate.
Okay. All right, let's go to Michelle from Springfield, Massachusetts, listening on WEZE. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, what's going on?
I discovered a couple of years ago that my husband of over 18 years had had more than one long-term affair with people at work.
Mm.
And we began counseling immediately. And one of the details I discovered subsequently after the initial discovery was that even though he had ended the affair, the first person was still an employee, a coworker. And my position was immediately that there's something that he has to do. There has to be no contact, that was a non-negotiable factor to our future. And so we've been in counseling as a couple for about 8 months, and then we split off and did individual counseling. And I think his position has lessened from him taking the responsibility of fixing that issue to presently hoping that it will become, how shall I say, smaller in the rearview mirror for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that that's sick expectation, and that I'm not changing my position, and I want the experts to give me some data that backs up how I feel that the real answer is.
Okay, so the question for us is specifically,
what do I tell my husband whose argument at this point is that since the affair is over, he's not doing anything wrong by continuing to work with this person?
Michelle, I think that's totally the wrong direction to go. It's not whether or not he's doing anything right or wrong. It's what you need from him to regain trust.
There you go.
So don't, you know, because you could go to court and have 1,000 different judges give you a different verdict on that.
Yeah.
Okay? And I can give you 1,000 circumstances that I've seen where it's gone either way with good and bad outcomes. So I just wouldn't even get in that way of talking about this. You tell him that this is what I need from you. I need for you to be here with me, and I need to not have her in my head anywhere. And every day when you go to work, because we don't have the kind of trust that we need to have, that I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm going to just...
And on the other side of that, you know, he's got to do that in a way. Does she work for him, or is this like a coworker, or what?
He is the boss.
Okay, well, he's got a big other problem on his hands that, you know, he's got to do that in a way that he has legal obligations to her.
Yeah, like lawsuits.
Yeah, like
sexual harassment
exactly.
Lawsuit. In fact, let me...
And so he's got, I mean, there's human resources involved in here. There's doing the right thing, you know, for her in this as the employer. And he's... It sounds like he's kind of, you know, thinking he can sort of play it both ways. And it's a difficult problem, but it's going to be hard to find out exactly the right answer to do the right thing. But you've got to let him know that there's some way that there's got to be a solution and a recipe. And who knows? I mean, this is a huge company. Maybe she works on the other side of the globe or something. But the point is that... Or he doesn't have contact with her. I don't know what the right answer is, but it's okay for you to say what you need, that you need to know that you are secure from him having ongoing, you know, involved contact with her.
Yes.
Sorry, Sherry,
I
interrupted you there.
No, I
that just either find another job or take a bold move and go to his boss or human resources and explain, be vulnerable enough to explain the mistake.
Well,
and see if they can be separated.
Well, and I'm not seeing it as a mistake. I'm seeing it as a long-term pattern.
Oh, I thought he owned the company, that she was his employee.
No. He doesn't own the company. He's the boss.
Oh, well, then he would just have to get a different position to solve it, right?
I mean, there's vulnerability.
Without affecting her.
We just had the Women in the Battle conference recently here, Michelle. And Kayla, one of the women on our panel, actually found out about her husband's affair through a lawsuit, a sexual harassment lawsuit. I mean, it's a hotbed for it, right? And so what I want to do is speak truth to you, is your husband's a sex addict. He has a pattern of sexually relationships that have been outside of marriage. He needs to get to an EMB. He needs to come to the Everyman's Battle Workshop. And I would like you to come to a Women's in the Battle Workshop, because you guys are dealing with this issue of sexual addiction as just looking at it as an affair, a problem, one problem. We have, my husband is having an affair at work. It's much bigger than that. And so there are women who, in the process of their men going to Every Man's Battle, the guys come back and disclose, you know, they bring the truth of what they've done over the years, and they start owning responsibility for their addiction. They start getting help. And part of restitution for some women is you need to leave that position. You need to get transferred. But then at that point, they're motivated, because now all of a sudden they're looking at their problem squarely. They're with a bunch of other guys where there's no judgment and shame, but they're coming clean. And so at that point, they're motivated. They're not like, you know, he wants it to get smaller for you is one way of saying, I want you to get over the pain so what you can leave me alone and so I can keep doing what I've been doing all of these years. Yep. I'm glad you're standing strong. But the hard move, the bold move, is you need to get him into an Everyman Battle weekend. That's the next step for you. And then you come to Women in the Battle and start looking squarely at what the issues are you're dealing with.
Okay.
You mentioned this concept of, I think you had said to another caller, a dry addict. Is it possible that when a person says, well, I'm not doing anything now, is he... a dry addict?
Well, Michelle, here's the problem that a dry addict kind of has. Okay, you're not doing anything now. Great. Then what are you doing with me? Yeah. See, if you've put off the addictive behavior, if an alcoholic gets dry and stops drinking, but doesn't stop the pattern of not showing up and being intimate with the family, and following through and staying connected and working out conflict and making everybody feel loved and trustworthy and all that kind of stuff, then that's what you focus on. So if he's not doing anything bad in terms of acting out sexually, fine. That doesn't mean that all is great. What you've got to ask for is what's great showing up in the relationship with you, and that becomes the issue.
All right, we'll be back for our final segment on betrayal right after this.
Hi everybody, Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and Henry, I'd love for you to share some scripture at the end of the program about betrayal and a perspective, God's perspective on it.
Oh, it's so funny because he was just doing that with me during the break. You brought scripture in, so you're all ready for that part of it.
Yeah, I'm
the
psychic.
Old with the new replacing.
I'm psychic.
I know you are. It's really amazing.
Oh, is that the one I should share?
Yeah, I just thought that was powerful because it was a great scripture.
Well, just do it now.
Yeah, sorry, Steve, but he already had done it, so I thought.
Well, actually, it applies to betrayal, but we were talking about how just because this husband from our previous caller had stopped, doing bad things, that a lot of times a betrayer will say, but I'm not doing that anymore, okay? Well, that's great. But what the Bible says and what we know about getting well is that there's always two sides. It says this over and over in the New Testament, to put off the old man and put on the new man. You can't just put off the old and show up as the same old man, just not doing the old man behaviors.
That's good.
You've got to put off the addictive behavior, but you've also got to clothe yourselves, the New Testament says, with this whole new way of being in a relationship that is, it's very clear. It says you put away wrath and you put on compassion and kindness and honesty and all of this other oriented behavior that goes way past just not having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we teach 5-year-olds to not lie. I mean, I remember when my daughters were 5 or 6 years old, if I came in and said, did you eat the cookie? And they got crumbs on their face. They know well enough to say at that point, yes, I did, and I did a bad thing, and I'm sorry, and I won't do it again. But is a 5 or 6-year-old ready for marriage? No, we need more. I mean, that's a pretty low bar just to not lie, cheat, or steal. That's what children are able to do. We don't allow kids to get married. For adults to be married, they've got to gone through a process the Bible calls maturity, which means complete, which means that you show up with a toolbox where you're able to do a bunch of stuff to make the day work. And that goes way past just not being, quote, bad or doing bad things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good, very good. Thank you. Let's go to Ken from Auburn Vale, Massachusetts, WEZE. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Sure, great. How are you? What's going on?
Good. My question is, I'm actually the one that's being unfaithful to my girlfriend, and I've been trying to see why that is, and I'm starting to think if even this is the girl that's for me.
Okay, so you're trying to figure out why you're unfaithful?
Not that why, but if I'm being unfaithful, like I find myself being unfaithful, If this is even the girl that I'm the one to be with, if I feel that way.
Okay. So
is this the first time you've ever been unfaithful in a relationship?
No, it's not, and I think I've seen a pattern with it. I've actually been with this girl in the past that I was the only girl that I was really in love with, but I still was unfaithful.
Yeah.
And I left, and my girlfriend found out at the moment about that she wasn't the only one that I had been unfaithful with.
Right.
So her and my mom actually was involved in this unfaithful thing.
Hey, Ken, just to clarify, the only one you've ever been in love with, is that the current girlfriend or the one you're cheating with?
No, the one I was in love with was 3 years ago. But the girlfriend that I'm with now, she's someone that I'm growing a big relationship with, that I'm trying to see if I could fall in love with her,
Well, Ken, let me just say this. I don't think anybody is the right one for you.
Okay.
I think you're asking the wrong question. Is could this maybe not be the right one, or is the right one? I think Ken has to become the right one.
Right.
And then when you've developed and worked through this character flaw or defect, or even you could say character default, then you'd be able to have a real live relationship, and then you'd know if somebody would be a good choice for you or not.
Right. And the thing is, I would love to get back to that and start over without my girlfriend, but she won't accept the fact that I would break up with her and have me change, because she would rather see me change and then be with her at that moment. So it's pretty complicated how it is. But
mm-hmm. Did you guys follow that?
Uh-huh.
Well, this is one of those things where it looks like you're looking for dust mites when the kitchen's burning down in the house. That you need to shift your focus off of all this stuff and then just change. I mean, go to Every Man's Battle. Go sign up today. See, that's different than analyzing and evaluating. Read the book, Every Man's Battle. Get an accountability partner today. Call a church right now. You see, these are all things that are action steps versus all this analysis on whether she's the right one or should I stay with her while I change and all. Just go change. And then these questions will fall into place, the answers to them.
Yeah, I want to applaud you, Ken, because what I'm hearing is a man that is willing to say, I think I have a problem. I think I have a problem because I've been being unfaithful, and this isn't the first time. And so I want to applaud you and encourage you to do exactly what Steve just said. Go to EMB. Get the book. Start reading it and looking, because you do have a problem. And it's not going to go away without you getting some treatment for it and care.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ken.
All right. Yeah, I have tried. Yes.
Can I applaud you as well? You know, the angels have a big party every time somebody says, I need to change. You know, the Bible says when one person repents, the angels just have this big party in heaven. So, you know, they're partying right now. But here's the thing. For you to integrate, come together to be able to have a whole relationship with a woman, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to work on faithfulness, okay? And faithfulness has to do not just with, you know, whether you're going to cheat on the girlfriend you're with or this, that, and the other. It's going to start with your faithfulness to God. And I would begin to see that as a program where you're going to be all in with God. And that means living according to all of His standards. And where you're struggling to live up with all of His standards, that you find a grace-giving support system that can help you to live up to those standards. Because as long as you kind of have this addiction going where you can get pain medicated, you know, by having this relationship or that relationship, instead of doing the suffering through that pain to do the spiritual growth required, then you're still going to have this problem. So just start there. You don't even have to find the right girl for today or tomorrow or whatever. Start with the right God and the right support group, and come together and get to be a healthy person. Then, when you're ready, she'll show up.
All right. I'm glad you called, and I'm glad you guys applauded him for the progress that he's making.
Of course.
We're out of time, and thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Henry. Thanks to all of you that listen and support us. And if you've never, ever supported us, please pray about it and see if God's leading you that direction. In the meantime, we'll see you next time right here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.